morning. So when we have those voice of God moments in the scripture, I really miss Ray Haas. I wish he would be here and just interject there because he does the voice of God so well. So how is your Lent going? Are you like me and have already fallen short in your Lenten commitments? Have you like me and, as Paul describes, fallen back into our earthly ways? Have we forgotten where our real citizenship lies? Have we forgotten that this journey is about dying and rising with Christ? Paul warned us that our earthly ways lead us to destruction. Our ways do not work, but God's ways do. We are to take heart, even if we've failed to this point, for we can start again with God's help. We should listen to Paul's admonition about worshiping the gods of our stomachs, which is a reference to the Jewish dietary laws. We should not focus on the externals of our sacrifices, but instead on how those sacrifices change us internally on our journey to the cross and resurrection celebrated at Easter. This is the purpose of Lent. But perhaps we are simply struggling with our faith. Perhaps we have asked God for God's help to be able to follow through with our Lenten observances, and perhaps we think God has failed us and has promised to be there. Can we identify with Abram, who is discouraged by his lack of the heir that God has promised him? I think we should notice that in the depths of despair, the Lord tells him to keep trusting. He is to look up to the sky and count the stars. It's during the day, and he can't do that. So God is asking him to have faith in something he cannot see. Abraham responds with his faith once more, and God credits him with righteousness. Righteousness is the biblical way of saying we're doing what God wants us to do. God seals the covenant with light, exemplified by the smoking fire pot and flaming torch. So, we should not get discouraged, although it is human to do so, if we've gotten lax about our commitments. If we do get discouraged, maybe it's because we have placed the focus on ourselves instead of on God. Sure, we have to keep our side of the bargain, but remember, the covenant we have is not a contract between equals. We need to keep in mind that the covenant we have is with the Lord, the one who can do all things. We, on our part, have to be patient, and he will make good on his promises. As we review the gospel reading, we see that Peter, John, and James are on a journey with Jesus, taking a hike up a mountain. They think they're just going for a walk. Suddenly, Jesus becomes dazzling white. No normal white. It's a white no one has ever seen or will see again until the second coming. It's divinity. It's pure holiness. In this passage, Jesus is walking and talking with the biggest pillars of the Jewish faith. The apostles can't believe that this conversation is happening with the rabbi they've been following. Peter, in reply to some unwritten question, says, "Let's make a camp here." Or maybe Peter's response was really a nervous reaction to what he was seeing. Or maybe it's an attempt not to let the moment pass, to keep the feeling of ecstasy going. But as if that experience wasn't enough, a voice comes down from the cloud. They're already terrified at the sight of Jesus in dazzling white, talking with Moses and Elijah. But now a voice from the cloud speaks. Then God reiterates what he said at Jesus' baptism. "This is my son." He doesn't say he's well pleased with him this time. He says, "Listen to him." God is further emphasizing Jesus' authority. Some look at this event as the completion of Jesus' baptism, as his confirmation. The whole scene is a vision of the meeting of human and divine. Human nature meets God through the voice of God and the divinity of Jesus. Then they were left alone. They were alone with Jesus' humanity, just as we are left with our humanity after our own mountaintop experiences. They are left with Jesus just as we are left with Jesus in our own life. Jesus is all we have. The grace from our encounters with Jesus remains, though, even after these experiences. It is this grace that we can call on when we get discouraged and can't see the light of Christ at the moment. Furthermore, this event shows us that, as Fulton Sheen frequently repeated, there can be no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. Moses and Elijah are speaking about the exodus Jesus will undergo. He will get to the promised land by passing through the most horrific suffering imaginable. We too will get to our promised land through a long and difficult trek. Suffering is a necessary part of the journey. The key, though, is not to get too discouraged, but rather always look at the stars and remember we are created for an eternity of infinite joy. This being the season of Lent, this season of hope, I can't help think of these readings but in terms of new beginnings. No matter how discouraged we may have been, we can listen to the readings today and renew our hope, our faith. We can start over. As I look at our catechumens and candidates, I think back to my own new beginnings in RCIA. The flood of memories that comes back is truly overwhelming sometimes. I think of how new everything felt, how new my walk with Christ was. I remember our trip out to Our Lady of Angels Monastery on a crisp, clear spring day. I was having a spiritual experience. I felt guided by the Holy Spirit on my way to the confirmation of my faith at the Easter Triduum. God did not speak to me in words, but I did feel his nudges as he sent the Holy Spirit, who gave me consolations at various points, allowing me to feel like I was on the right track. My understanding is that is how most of us get guided. Not by the white light, dazzling garment, voice from a cloud experiences, but by these little nudges of the Holy Spirit. We can remain open to the dramatic experiences as described in today's gospel, but I expect we would be as terrified as the apostles were. And we should not forget that we don't have far to look for a conversion experience. We always have an opportunity for conversion of heart and a possible white light experience every time we come to Mass and join in the ultimate communion. The Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the reality of Christ's love is our ultimate hope. It shows God's infinite love for us and offers us our own transformative encounter with the divine anytime we open our hearts and minds to its incredible reality. Amen.
Amen.